This is KSOP Cross Country. May is National Stroke Awareness Month, and 2018 is the 20th anniversary of the American Stroke Association. And the Utah chapter of the Heart and Stroke Association has arranged for Dr. Nabil Chohan to drop by and join us. He's a vascular neurologist with University of Utah Health. To start with, would you, in layman's terms, kind of define for us what a stroke is?
So a stroke is basically you have, because of a blood clot in the brain, you have decreased blood flow to a part of the brain, which leads to symptoms such as facial droop, loss of vision, inability to speak, weakness on one side of the body.
Now, how deadly are strokes?
So more than 7 million adults in the United States have a stroke, and someone has a stroke every 40 seconds. And stroke is the fifth leading cause of death in the United States.
I understand it's even a little more prevalent here in Utah than for the entire country.
Yes, it's the fourth leading cause of death in Utah.
Now, what's the most common controllable cause of stroke?
So the most common controllable cause of stroke is high blood pressure. Recent guidelines by the suggest that high blood pressure should be even less than 130 over 80.
And that's a slight change from last year or even a few months ago.
Yes, previously it was 140 over 90. But with research, they found that even stricter blood control leads to less heart attacks and stroke.
So what can be done to help prevent stroke?
Basically, you should have regular visits with your doctor, try to keep up a healthy lifestyle, and if you're prescribed a medication such as aspirin, to be compliant with that medication. Like we said, control risk factors such as high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol. Another major risk factor is cigarette smoking. Cigarette smoking is associated with an increased risk of all subtypes of stroke. And studies have shown that the elevated risk of stroke with smoking does decline after someone quits smoking and is eliminated by 5 years. So the American Heart Association and American Stroke Association recommends that patients, should avoid smoking and work on lifestyle and medications to control those risk factors.
By lifestyle, I'm assuming that means diet and exercise?
Yes, sir. Diet and exercise. Basically, it's recommended that for men, you should have at least 45 minutes to an hour of high-intensity exercise 4 to 5 times a week. And for women, it's like 30 minutes to 45 minutes of high-intensity exercise.
When it comes to stroke and once someone has suffered a stroke, there is a very effective clot-busting drug now available. Tell us about that and the time frame in which it is effective.
So the clot-busting drug, also known as TPA, has been available for some time, and we can give it in the first 3 to 4.5 hours, depending on certain criteria that has to be met, which are now, they're not very strict. So most people can get TPA, the clot buster. And so anytime, when we do stroke education, it's like anytime you see somebody who has symptoms of a stroke, which I kind of explained before, we should call 911 and try to get them to the hospital as soon as possible so they can get TPA. Because the earlier the TPA is given after stroke symptoms have started, the better the outcome.
Now, has that time frame expanded? Because I think when I first heard about it, that they were talking about 90 minutes as being the time frame for it.
And it's usually 3 hours, but in certain cases can be up to 4.5.
Now, there's also a clot-reducing device. What is it, and what's the time frame for its effectiveness?
So we have, in the past, up to 6 hours from stroke onset, done what we call thrombectomy, which is going into the brain through a catheter, just how we do a heart cath. It's the same thing. You go up to the brain, and using a stent, you remove the clot from the blood vessels. Now, with recent research, the guidelines have been updated and now you can do this thrombectomy or clot retrieval up to 16 to 24 hours after a stroke onset. And at the University of Utah, which is a comprehensive stroke center, we have this capability. We get patients from all over on whom we have done thrombectomy or the clot removal at 20 hours, 18 hours, so with good outcomes, yes.
Is it more effective quicker it's done?
Definitely, the earlier you do it, it's better. But in recent studies that were published in the New England Journal of Medicine, they showed that even up to 24 hours, the outpatient outcomes were better with doing the clot removal versus not doing a clot removal.
And when we talk about better, when you're talking about such effects as half of your body being limp losing the use of it to some extent and the speech problems and the sight problems, anytime you can reduce those, then that's a really good thing.
Yeah, so I think by when better, I mean most patients in those studies were sight disability, but were able to do most of their daily activities. And then others had required some help with their daily activities. So that's what I say. So when I say they had better outcomes, meaning they were not totally dependent on people.
Yeah, that was what I was wanting to clarify, is it's still a matter of the quicker the better.
And the quality of life, yes.
And in fact, we should probably emphasize even more the importance of getting treatment as soon as possible, and that means calling 911 immediately.
So we always emphasize that when we do stroke education, is anytime anybody witnesses symptoms of a stroke, they should call 911. And actually last year, I believe it was a very heartwarming story where this teacher who's like a third or fourth grade teacher, and she was having a stroke. And the kids called 911 because they recognized that she was having a stroke. So if stroke education has come a long way. And she did really good because she was able to get to the hospital in time, get the clot buster, get the removal of the blood clot from the brain.
Now, I've been told in the past that it's usually a friend, or in this case, could be a student, that recognizes that there's a problem, mm-hmm. and that their fast action can be the difference between life or death or disability.
It's true, yes.
And that so it's the quick action, calling for 911 help. And that, I think we should also clarify, is that's a much better way to get the person to the ER than putting them in your car and driving them there.
Yes, yes. Getting, because, sometimes there are other things that can go wrong. Patient's breathing might be affected if they have a big enough stroke. So calling 911 is always recommended, because then EMS can get to the site and make sure the patient is also safe to transfer, before they start transferring them.
And when they arrive at the hospital via mm-hmm. ambulance,
yes, sir.
Then the immediate response at the ER is there, whereas if you're driving up and walking the patient in,
yes.
then that causes a delay.
So whenever a stroke patient is being brought through EMS, they call in beforehand. So the ER is aware, the stroke team and the vascular neurology team is aware. So it's called a brain attack page, which is sent out through the hospital to the personnel who need to be aware, and then so we know that this patient is 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away, and then so we are ready and prepared to manage them.
Now, if we don't get someone to the hospital soon enough and they do end up with more serious residual effects, then it will dramatically change their lifestyle even if they survive. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, yes.
Because they then have the paralysis and some other disabilities to deal with, perhaps
yes.
for the rest of their lives.
Yes, that is always a possibility, yes.
Now, Is there anything else that you'd like to make us aware of that we haven't already talked about?
I always stress about medication compliance to all of my patients, and because even secondary stroke prevention, there's primary stroke prevention with, you know, but there's also secondary stroke prevention, and patients or survivors of stroke who stop taking their daily aspirin can increase their risk of stroke by another 37%. So I always stress that compliance with medications is always very important. If your doctor has prescribed aspirin to you for prevention of heart disease and stroke, then, you know, I always recommend to my patients that please keep taking the aspirin, unless, you know, there's a very strong reason to be off of it.
Yeah, once in a while, if you're in the hospital or prescribe some other medication, they might tell you to come off the aspirin for a short time.
Or if you're having a procedure, yes, you might have to come off of it. But, and again, I can't stress enough on lifestyle changes. Getting daily exercise is very important. And high intensity means that if you're doing high intensity exercise, then you should not be able to complete a full sentence. That's what it means by high intensity. Your heart rate should be up, and you should be short of breath.
And so the stroll around the block is probably not high intensity.
True, but
it's good for you.
It's good for you, but again, you should do what you're able to. You know, if somebody is limited by some other, like, you know, they're not able to do very high. Any exercise is better than no exercise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Is there anything happening during Stroke Awareness Month that you want to make us aware of?
So there is an event on May 19th at the Rebel House, which will be a relay-style cycling day. It's from 1 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. The University of Utah will have kind of like a table there where people will be there who will provide stroke education. To sign up for this cycling day, you can go to the website cyclenation.org/studio.
Where can we get even more information?
So for education, if you want to visit websites, there's websites for Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And it's AHA Utah.
Thanks to Dr. Choan for joining us on KSOP Cross Country. I'm Dick Jacobson. The program is a public service of KSOP Incorporated.